I want you to listen to the words that came in on Sunday. If your goals and desires fit my plan and purpose for your life, I will walk alongside of you and guide you through to completion. If your goals and desires are contrary to my plan and the purposes for your life, I will walk beside you as I re-guide, redirect those goals and desires to fit my perfect plan and purposes for your life. Seek first my kingdom and its righteousness, and all these other things shall be added. That's the message for tonight. And when I read it, I had forgotten, because all I kept hearing today was, seek my kingdom. Seek my kingdom. So we're going to take a peek at a few. Well, yeah, but I would have let you, and I would have waited, because he'll turn it into good no matter what, right? So I want you to come with me to the Gospel of Matthew. By the way, Matthew is also my little great-grandson, and he was really, really happy at the birthday party on Saturday. One of Irene's cousins went over, and she's a very pretty girl. She's about 20. And she went over to talk to him, so I know that he went cuckoo, literally. I mean, he lost all control. He was so excited and jumping, and I mean, let's face it, he's 7 months old. But he's got an eye for girls already, and I thought that was beautiful. My wife says, I don't think I've ever seen him so excited. It was just so awesome to watch a little tiny baby, and she's just talking to him, and he is just eating it up. So he was seeking after the kingdom of probably the pretty girl, but that's okay. I want you to come to Matthew 6. And we're going to be looking at verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. I love that part because I can relate. When we're in the midst of a test and we don't understand what's happening, our faith begins to dwindle or evaporate. The longer the test, and we get, and we lose sight of the promise. That's one of the reasons why I learned to write it down. When I get a word from the Lord, I do my best to write it down, because if I don't, I find that I lose faith, I lose track of what's going on, and the doubts have their open party. When I can erase the doubt is when I go to the word that he has given me and I repeat it to him. You say you talk to the enemy? Yes. It's my will, mind, and emotions that are always arguing with my spirit. And so, obviously, when you write it down, you're going to put the enemy on the run. Amen? So, oh, you of little faith, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Who are the pagans? They're the unbelievers. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So your heavenly Father has knowledge about every one of your requirements. Amen? All right. For the pagans run after these things. Why would Jesus take time to speak about the pagans? Do you think the Israelites were looking at the pagans constantly? I think they were, yes. And the darkness in them was to look at what these guys who didn't have a God were blessed with. Fancy garments, gold, abundance, etc. And their eyes were fixed, instead of being on God, on the neighborhood. Has anything changed?
No. Absolutely not.
Okay. 32, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first this kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, or tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Amen.
You say, well, what are you getting at? Well, I'm getting at trying to give us an understanding that the kingdom that he's set up is not a kingdom that's going to fall apart. The kingdom of Christ is seen in Matthew 16:28. He says, I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, how did that get manifest? How did that actually take place while Jesus was still in the earth with his disciples? How did they get to see that kingdom?
On the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yes, yes, you're absolutely right. Now, believe it or not, he played favoritism. How many disciples did he have?
Three.
12.
Oh, yeah.
No, disciples. He had loads of disciples. He had 12 apostles. And then there were three that he took to the mountain, and the other nine stayed home. Well, how dare you? He played favoritism. But he did. Why? Maybe the others weren't hungry enough. Certainly we knew Judas had his nose in the money. Maybe the others weren't quite focused enough. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I do know this. It shows you that Jesus does take time to pull an individual and set him aside and show him something about the kingdom that he may not have shown the others. Why? There was one trigger word last night on that eulogy.
Trust?
Nope. It was about the kingdom. And I know John Paul had many revelations about the kingdom. And I also know that those revelations are so out of the ordinary that he's received persecution from the religious people. Just maybe God took him home before these things are made public so that he won't have to taste all the pain of the crucified specialists. Why do I say crucified specialists? We have religious folks that can't stand the truth. He saw the Lord and he gave his word to his son, and a year later, they literally laughed at him. And yet he was the most respected rabbi in all of Israel. And he knew Jesus was the Messiah and he made it public. Has anything changed?
No.
The other night, I happened to catch James Robeson with Pastor from Pastor Prince. Okay? And he questioned him about how he was able to get the revelation on the grace of God. And there are many teachers and preachers that can't handle that grace because it's too free. They call it a grace that's greasy because now they can do whatever they want and there's no repercussions. And that's not what he's teaching. Okay? And it's not what many of the great men of God are teaching. And Joseph Prince had a revelation that the more he concentrated and focused on his own disability and his own sin, he actually ended up believing that he had committed the mortal sin or the deadly sin that he could never be forgiven of. And he related his testimony to that degree. And I can attest to that because I, for a season, living in a religious realm, being part of a religious group, focused also on my mistakes. And the more I focused on my mistakes, the more they dragged me into what? Anybody taste what it does when you focus on your mistakes?
On the darkness.
Depression. Darkness. Doubt.
Unforgiveness
and anger.
Resentment.
All these things happen and you get mad at God. Why? Because there's no hope. You've taken hope out of the picture and you've crossed out believing. And yet, it's a walk of faith. Remember, Jesus said to the disciples, "Where's your faith?" They also were locked into the law, just like us in the religious realm. We were locked into the law. But when Jesus came, he is the Spirit of grace. He's also the Spirit of truth. And he told them, "You will see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom when what? The light of the Father radiated through him." Luke 22:30. He says, "So that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That's your future.
You say, "Me?" Why not you? He took Peter, James, and John, made them into specialists. Why can't he do that with you and me? Are you ready
to enjoy, which is what you did tonight to a degree? Amen? Luke 23:42. Here's a man who's been a sinner from the beginning and he knows it. Here's a man that didn't say the sinner's prayer. He wasn't religious. He might have been angry at God. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Wow. Did Jesus reject him? Why? He didn't have the right formula. He didn't get baptized. It's all about the heart. You're right. John 18:36. John 18:36. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Meaning it's not connected to the earthly realm. It is of the realm of the spirit. Is the realm of the spirit available to you in the earth?
Yes.
Yes. But how many want to use it? It's a kingdom of light. It's a kingdom of love. It's a kingdom of what? Peace, joy. And what else? Peace, joy, love.
Righteousness.
Ah, and it's righteousness without works. It's got to be done by faith. And everybody wants to work their way into the kingdom, and it's not working. Is it? All right. That's confirmed in Hebrews 1:8 and in Philippians 2:10. Next one, Revelation 17:14. Revelation 17:14. It says, down the road, "They will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers." Three levels. Called, chosen,
and faithful. Kind of cool, huh?
Peter, James, and John
Which level was Peter at? How can you identify where Peter was?
He was called.
Yeah, I believe he was called.
He was called.
He also had a knowledge about being chosen, but was he walking in it? No, I don't think so. Because he's ready to build boots. His focus is on the?
Doing.
He's doing. He's working. He wants to build a booth. He wants to make sure Jesus is going to be happy. He's going to make his way to heaven and work his way at it and get in there no matter what the price. I know I'm preaching. What I'm getting at is this. If you've been struggling, cool it. If you've been working at getting in, cool it. You're already in. You're already in. Tell your neighbor, cool it. You're in.
Oh, you're in.
It's not going to be so bad after all when you simply enjoy the trip. Are you going to enjoy the persecution? No. Are you going to enjoy the hardship? No. Was I enjoying watching my wife today struggling because she wanted to do certain things and her body yet isn't recovered sufficiently to be able to take care of two kids by herself? Well, do you want to go? She says, do you have to go? And I know darn well, yeah, I would have liked to be able to go, but if I'm going to go, I'm going to leave her in a place where she can't handle because her body's still not functioning at the level it should be or could be. So what do? I wait, and I wait. And I make sure that I stay happy and keep my mouth shut. Yeah, I know about duct tape.
I got a market on it, though.
Let's say it this way. I've learned some things and I can see that I have matured to a degree. Why are you giggling, you?
Because I'm just doing the same thing.
You're doing the same thing. Okay. So, you know, I said to the Lord, actually, when the kids came in, they were both kind of happy. And so they were a little bit later than I expected. And so my wife said, do we have to go? And I said, well, I have an appointment. So I do have things that I need to do, and I put off a few things. So, you know, when I do that, I have to readjust, and so we had to readjust. The bottom line is, learning to readjust is also an art, without offending. Because at one time, I would have offended. Well, where were you? You're late! How many have the anointing of critic?
Not me.
Anybody have that? When the anointing of critic comes upon us, what happens? We spoil what? We spoil the peace. The kingdom just flies out the window, and we're in the wrong kingdom again. We're back into the kingdom of flesh. Amen?
Amen.
So that critical anointing did not have its way today. And I was so grateful to the Lord because I know how delicate it can be when you're pressured to try to please everybody, and you're stuck in the middle. Anybody know about being stuck in the middle?
Amen.
All right. And you know you're stuck, but who put you there? Huh? It's not always you. It's sometimes the Lord will allow you to get stuck in the middle. Okay? I think Peter, when he's on the mountain and he watches the manifestation of what happens, literally gets knocked to the ground because of the presence of the Father, who he can't handle, gets up from there, wants to build a booth, and Lord must have just looked at him and said, okay, Peter, we're going backwards again. And so I'm sure that the Lord probably kind of had a Peter wake up, you know? And we do the same thing, okay? There are times you're going to get frustrated. There are times you're going to get angry. There are times you're going to get all those combinations. And when they happen, cry out to him. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And trust the grace that he will release to you. And when Joseph Prince was sharing that with a little bit of his testimony, he said he was so down and out. And he was so frustrated because he really felt that his walk with God had failed. Until the Holy Spirit began to show him that the grace was sufficient for him. No different than it was for St. Paul. Now, St. Paul is aware that he's got a demon on his case.
And he's suffering in his body. He's hurting. We don't know exactly what the problem is. It could have been an emotional thing. It could have been a physical thing. It could have been a lust thing. It could have been anything. And I think he left it blank so that it'll operate in any level. Got it? And when he cried out to the Lord to get rid of it, the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you because I have given you great revelations." Did Peter, James, and John pay an incredible price because of the revelation they had?
Yes,
they did. And I'm not saying that it wasn't God's plan. It was. But you know what?
It also teaches you and me to trust him with our tomorrows. And it's a trust of tomorrow. I can do this, Lord, because I know your grace will be with me. Not to trust in your own strength, not to trust in your own wisdom that you've learned over and over, all the right things to do with the right formula, and do it all right so that everybody's happy, and you dance this way for a little while, then you dance that way for a little while, and then you dance from the right side to the left side until everybody is totally in joy because you've been around. Because now you're, in their eyes, a great Christian. The only thing is, you had a miserable day. Well, come on now. Did I hit home? Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I am so grateful.
I am so grateful.
For your grace.
For your grace.
It's unmerited. I don't deserve it.
It's unmerited. I don't deserve it.
But I'm asking for more.
But I'm asking for more.
If I'm expected to make it.
If I'm expected to make it.
To this finish line.
To this finish line.
You've got to complete this mission.
You've got to complete this mission.
Through me.
Through me.
By your grace alone.
By your grace alone.
So thank you.
To
take me to the finish line.
To take me to the finish line.
No matter whether you have to drag me along. Whatever I'm complaining.
However angry I am at the moment.
Just remember I'm not in my right mind at that time.
Just remember I'm not in my right mind.
But I'm really at my right mind right now.
Without grace.
It's hopeless.
It's hopeless.
But today,
there's
an abundance of grace.
There's an abundance of grace.
For me and my house.
And my house.
And all those that I carry in my heart.
And all those that carry in my heart.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I pray.